Here we go. Yeah. Get up out of bed. Get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Hit CQ.
Yes, good morning. You are listening to Tim and Jess with special guests this week, Matt, until Thursday when Timmy returns. And we are just having way too much fun.
Right? It's what, 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
And the silly season set in.
Honestly, our boss said to us yesterday, look, show was great, guys. Mm. We just need to settle down a little bit.
Like, Stop screaming at each other.
There's too much happiness in the room. You just need to tone it down a little bit.
So, pretend as though you're sitting in a restaurant and that you're trying not to disturb every other person in the world. Everyone always tells me,
especially Tim, that I'm too loud in restaurants. He's always like, you need to settle down.
Mate, you're just too loud, full stop.
Yeah.
I could be at the other end of this building and you can call my name out and I can hear you as though you were next to me.
I don't have another volume level. It's this or higher. This is the lowest it gets. We've got a massive 3 hours left of the show, Matt. We've got the pressure test coming up after 8 o'clock, of course, as always. Your chance to win $1,000 on your Tuesday
morning.
We're also going to be opening the courtroom of Tim and Jess because I have a beef to pick with you.
Oh, not a beef.
I know it is the courtroom of Tim and Jess, but I can take another plaintiff. That's fine. That's the word for it, right?
Plaintiff. Don't look at me.
You're the defendant. I'm the plaintiff.
Sure.
Look, we're not lawyers.
Law and order. Clang, clang.
But you will have the chance to be a judge after 7:30 today. Coming up next, Matt.
Tim. Yep. That's me.
Tim. Now, Matt, I want to tell you the secret to losing weight could be in 2 glasses of wine.
Mate. Sold.
Right?
I don't know. Matt, that's it. We don't need to talk any further.
I won't spoil it with any sort of fact.
Why would you start now?
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
I want to tell you about a way you can lose weight and still drink copious amounts of wine.
Tick, tick. Let's do it.
So apparently a new study has been done that says 2 glasses of wine before bed can help you lose weight.
Like directly before bed? Like you literally just scull them and then hit the pillow?
I'm guessing so.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, 2 glasses is all it takes, really.
You are cheap.
So the studies come from Washington State University and Harvard Medical School.
Hey,
so you know
I've heard
it's legit.
Both of those things. They're
right?
real. Yeah.
That's a legit thing. And they explain that there's a certain, look, I'm not good at science.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Something chemically in wine.
Yeah.
It's called a resveratrol.
Oh, I bet that's how you pronounce it too.
And apparently this lends a hand in the weight loss department because it turns white fat into obesity-fighting beige fat.
Oh.
So apparently there's two different kinds of fat.
I've heard of brown fat, which is like the baby fat that's amazing.
Yeah.
So maybe beige is like halfway.
Maybe it's halfway in between. But the white fat's the one you don't want.
Yeah.
And apparently this stuff that's in red wine can break down that white fat and make it into the good one that helps you lose weight.
But is there like a limit? Like, what if you needed more than 2 glasses?
I'm thinking it's 2 glasses. Or at least according to Harvard Medical School, it's 2 glasses.
Look, they've got clipboards, so they'd know.
That's 2 glasses every day before bed.
Yeah. No, that adds up, depending on the glass size.
I'm absolutely convinced that this is the right way to go. And look, they also say that if you're not like a big drinker, then you can also get this same chemical. It's found in fruits like blueberries, strawberries, and grapes.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
Sounds like healthy eating to
me. Can I dip the strawberries in chocolate and still have the same effect?
Look, as a fellow scientist, yes. That's absolutely how it works.
So I just I drink a lot of wine. Like
I love these studies. They just sound like they're at stay-at-home mums. Okay, we're going to have wine. And then also chocolate's good. Definitely drink chocolate.
Well, if it's dark chocolate and wine, then I mean, why haven't I lost weight already?
You will live forever. That's it. You're done.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
I want to talk about Iggy Azalea because doesn't like telling people that she's Australian.
No, not a fan of it, apparently.
Absolutely got a little bit of bogan in her.
Yes.
I feel like everyone's got a little bit of bogan in them.
Oh, 100%.
It's just where you are at in your life with how much you bring it out in yourself.
Yeah.
Like since moving regional, the bogan in me is just on fire.
Oh, you are flourishing.
Oh,
as a woman and as a human.
Living my best life, mate. And Iggy Azalea, I mean, it's been a bit of a sad few years for her. So her and her ex-fiancé, Nick Young, broke up in June 2016.
Mm.
So it's been about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And in an interview a couple of days ago, she actually said, that once they split, she really wanted to hurt him.
Right.
So they obviously had a house together. She started like throwing and breaking stuff all over the house. And she was like, hang on a second. This is my stuff too. This isn't hurting him. I need to hit him where it hurts. And Nick Young's designer clothing is where she got it done. So she said she started off just throwing stuff in the pool.
Yeah.
Taking his clothes, throwing it in the pool. And then she was like, this isn't satisfying enough. So she said she's going to find something to really destroy the designer clothes. And like designer clothes, like they would be buying expensive stuff.
Oh, mate. Like, yeah, they wouldn't blink at like $500 for a shirt.
Like she's not going to buying a $7 Kmart dress. Like
she's a fool for not doing it, but she's not doing it. You're right.
So she turned on their fire pit, and which she describes as, you know, it's a really nice fire pit, the one where you turn the gas on.
Oh, flash. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a flashy one. Mm. And she set his clothes on fire.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, sounds so satisfying, doesn't it?
Oh, it sounds dramatic for sure.
Like, I mean, it's been 2 years since I've been with my ex. And, I mean, his stuff is long gone. Like, I shoved all that stuff in a box with all my feelings. And
buried it in the backyard next to the cat.
I threw it in the rubbish bin and watched the rubbish truck take it away. And it was satisfying.
Yeah,
but now that Iggy's burnt all of her partner's stuff, I'm like, damn.
You missed an opportunity.
I should have burnt it all.
Oh, although, look, can go wrong. I remember Left Eye from TLC, she did the same, burnt her ex's clothes in the bathtub.
Really?
Burn his house down too, though. So
I feel like maybe she meant it.
Definitely not an accident.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit. Trending now at hit.com.au.
Biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And Matt, they're on the search at the moment. Police are on the search for a Queensland man who robbed a convenience store in Noosa.
Yeah, in Noosa?
Noosa. And look, what he took was unconventional.
Sure. Well, it's Noosa. So
he was in the store in Noosa, got a meatball sub that was on the hot food display.
Okay.
Shoved it in his pants.
Oh, as we all do.
Yep, because that's where you
put
them.
That's a Saturday night, mate.
Walked out of the store, proceeded to pull it out of his pants and start eating it.
Yeah.
Now, the shop attendant followed him out of the store and was like, buddy.
I just saw you shove a meat foot long down your pants.
You can't do that. And he fled.
with the
maple sun, I'm assuming.
Oh my gosh!
So they're still trying to find it. They you know, look, the shop attendant ran after him for a while, but you know, couldn't get him. So
they just checked the hospitals. He has got third degree burns on their balls.
You can check out more of what's trending now at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Research has been done from CQ University, actually. Mm-hmm. And the study was conducted on FIFO workers and their mental health.
That's a really big issue.
Huge.
And it's one that, I think they've done quite a few studies on because it's affecting a lot of people.
It's a very intensely. Big industry. I mean, FIFO workers are across the country.
Yeah.
It's a big, I mean, you know, there's different careers within FIFO workers.
Sure, sure.
But it is a lot of people across this country are doing FIFO work at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a big work. So, like, you know, they work like 3 weeks doing 12-hour days and then they get a week off.
Yeah.
To be back with their family.
Yeah, and then, like, there's different combinations. Like, a mate of mine, he used to do 7 weeks on and then he'd have 2 weeks off.
7 weeks of constant. Oof.
Yeah, that was out in WA. And look, a lot of different combinations and a lot of people aren't mentally strong enough to do these jobs and they don't realise until they're in them and they're stuck in these contracts.
Well, I think once you're in there, you're like, oh, I can manage. You know, I'm getting good pay, it's fine, okay. But you don't really realise the actual impact that's happening.
And that's the thing that this study has revealed. So a lot of people there's been a backlash saying, like one comment from this study, on this study, sorry, said, I'm sorry, are we supposed to feel sorry for these families? These FIFO workers aren't forced into their jobs. They take them because of the high salaries. Effectively, they get well compensated for sacrificing their time, yet still get plenty of time to see their families. It makes me laugh when the rich of society complain how tough it is. And I feel like that is a gross generalization. Oof,
and like a complete lack of sympathy.
Right?
That's intense.
I mean, look, I don't do FIFO, but I live away from my family and I have for the last 2 years to pursue this career.
Mm.
And it is difficult.
Oh, you've cried many a time.
Yeah. To be away from your family is very mentally, it toughens you up really quickly. And for some people, it's just not for them.
No.
And this is what this study has revealed. And I think that we need to have a bit more sympathy towards the FIFO workers.
I mean, yeah, they are getting paid. Hard. Well, the thing is, they're getting paid and they're working like huge shifts. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, literally getting up at 5 o'clock and getting home at like seven. Mm-hmm. Like the huge shifts of physical activity. That's the horrible stuff they're getting paid for.
And yes, they choose to be there.
Yeah.
But they don't choose everything that comes with it.
No. And I think, yeah, there needs to be a bit of work on making it better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they've definitely in the study, they've found that there's just a lot of mental health issues that are coming up. And unfortunately, not everyone's seeking help.
Yeah.
Like the guys sort of feel like they've just got to toughen up, just push through it and get over it.
And yeah, that's absolutely not the way to deal with mental health issues.
No,
look, if you are feeling, you know, stressed out or overwhelmed by your job, I mean, in any field, really.
Absolutely.
Give Lifeline a call. 13 11 14 is the number. They're always there to help.
They're brilliant.
Yeah.
And I've got my own brain problems. And I remember I tried to do a night shift for the radio. It was away from home for two weeks. I was dead by it. Like waking up sort of during the night, not seeing anyone. Mm. You have no social interactions. And then you just back in your room by yourself.
And that's just it. Like that's what the FIFO workers are dealing with. Like the social life outside of work is with more of their workers.
Yeah.
Like that's the most difficult part, I would say, being away from everybody and only interacting with the same people.
And the thing is, it doesn't just impact the workers themselves. It's also their families.
Absolutely.
Like a mate of mine, her husband's working out in Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
So away for 3 weeks at a time back. And she's raising two kids by herself, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Anyone can ask for help. Lifeline number again, 13 11 14. Give them a call anytime.
Absolutely.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
You and I have had some serious discussions about Karl Stefanovic in the last 24 hours.
He's a polarizing character,
yeah.
One might say.
And look, I love him. I love him to bits. And I think that he is great for the Today Show. They are nailing their ratings still.
They do
because
well with him, yeah.
He really does a lot for that show.
Oh yeah.
And he knows it.
Oh yeah. You can see it.
And look, a lot of people thought when Lisa Wilkinson left at the end of last year that it wasn't going to be rating so well anymore, but it still managed to keep its ratings up.
Yeah, it did well.
Until a little conversation in the backseat of an Uber yesterday.
I mean, who hasn't gotten in trouble from one of those?
So on the weekend, his brother and his wife were in the back of an Uber, had him on loudspeaker on the phone, and the Uber driver claims he remembers the whole conversation.
The 45-minute long conversation.
I mean, who's spending 45 minutes in an Uber anyway?
Like, I mean, like a $40,000 trip. Yeah.
That's an expensive taxi.
Oh, mate, up to the North Shores. It takes a while.
And so they had him on speaker and apparently this Uber driver went to New Idea, sold the story because it was a juicy one.
Oof.
Karl Stefanovic ripping to shreds everyone in the entertainment industry.
Everyone he's ever met.
Yep. And I mean, let's be real for a second here. I was watching The Project last night and they were discussing this. And I have to agree with something that Carrie Bickmore said.
Mm.
She said, haven't we all done this?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Haven't we all been there and, you know, had a rough day at work, called up our brother, called up our sister, called up a mate, and just vented?
Yes.
And, like, I mean, Tim and I will do it to each other's faces. This is the real crux of the issue, I think.
Mm.
Because if Tim has an issue with me, he'll be like, Jess, I just need you to leave for 15 minutes. Like, I can't deal with your face right now. And we move on. And it's vice versa. Right? And I think that's what makes us work.
Yes.
Whereas Carl's new co-host, I mean, he was just destroying her in this Uber conversation.
She's less than jazzed about it.
And I think it's hard. It's going to be hard for her. The damage is done. Like, it's going to be hard for her to now sit next to him every morning on the show and know that he doesn't feel like that for her.
Oh, I feel like there's going to be a couple of counselling sessions about this.
And that's, I hope that out of this, Carl talks to his co-host and says, look, this is the things I've said. I'm sorry I said them.
Yeah.
But in the same light, I think this is what we need to have a discussion about.
Yeah. I mean, because we've absolutely, like, I will sit down, you know, you get home on a Friday after a big week, sit down with your mates on the couch and go, oh, mate, turn the TV off. We've got to have a big chin wag.
Except for everyone in this building. I love everyone in Central Queensland. Thank you for giving me a job and good night.
Yeah, cut to 5 minutes later when I'm releasing the recorded
chats. Just wait until
you.
I'm in a taxi this afternoon.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
CQ here with Tim and Jess and Matt replacing Tim until Thursday.
The better-looking version.
7:09. Yes. And look, I want to talk about my best mate, Kate.
You got a full namer again?
Yeah, look, Kate Gorfine. she's the best. And Tim always describes her, Matt. I don't know if you've heard about my best mate. He always describes her as the blonde version of me. Like, she's just, we're just both messes of human beings. And that's, I think, why we're best friends. Like,
yeah, because you can, yeah.
We bring each other up because whatever's going wrong in my life, she's got a story to up me and vice versa. And the other day I was chatting to her yesterday on the phone. And I said to her, how's school going? She's just become a primary school teacher this
Exciting.
Year. So she's only been teaching for like 7-8 weeks now.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
And so she said, well, it's finally happened. Uh-huh. I'm like, what's happened? She's like, the kids ask me if I've got a boyfriend.
Oh.
So she's teaching grade fours, right?
Grade four.
So
right, okay.
9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
And they said, Miss Gorfine.
Yeah.
Have you got a boyfriend? And she said, no, actually, I'm single at the moment. I don't have a boyfriend.
Single tear runs down her face.
And one of the kids goes, sad life, Miss Gorfine.
Oh!
Sad life. I mean, that cuts me deep.
Did she just collapse on the floor?
I mean, if it were me, I would have kicked the child. But I mean, that's why I'm not a teacher.
100%.
I said to her, what did you do? And she's like, I just stood there. I was like, it's actually, I'm not so sad. Like, it's fine. And then she's like, and then I'm justifying myself to these 9-year-olds.
I have a full life.
I'm fine.
I've got friends.
I'm very happy.
My family love me.
So then they all start chanting.
No.
Like, they're all joining in. Oh, Miss Gorfine's got a bit of a sad life.
No.
Miss Gorfine's a sad life. And she's like, this is like, they've lost respect for me. It's 8 weeks in.
Wow. Grade four.
Grade four.
And they're already just burning her to a crisp.
I still didn't like boys at grade four. I was like, oh, get away from me. Get out of my face.
Mate, my biggest focus was colouring in the lines. Still can't, but still.
But it got me thinking, like, kids are so cruel because they're so brutally honest.
Oh, no filter.
And they have no idea about life. Like, no. I used to actually teach at a dance school. And I would teach 3 to 4 year olds and 5 to 6 year olds. Yeah. And I had a birthday there 1 year where I was turning 21.
Celebrating with all your friends.
Yeah. You know how you do. So it was my 21st birthday and everyone's like, happy birthday, Miss Jessica. Like, happy birthday. I'm like, thank you. How old are you, Miss Jessica? 84? Do I look 84?
I mean, from the right angle.
To them, I was the old woman from Titanic, honestly. Oh. Like, they just have no idea.
No, that's
like,
the end of it.
A bit of, like, you know, 21 to me when I was a kid was old.
Yeah, that's true. You were like, well, that's the end of it. Adulthood. I've got to have a house and children by
then. And now 34 is just like, that is the end of my life, right? Oh. No.
That felt very specifically attacked to me. Thank you very much.
Matt, it's really nice to have someone older than me across the desk.
I bring wisdom.
13, 12, 16, though. When has a kid been mean to you?
Ugh.
Because, I mean, let's make Kate feel a little bit better with her sad life.
Sad life.
Chatting about when kids have been mean to you, because my best mate, Kate Gorfine, just started teaching. I don't know if she's even listening. Like,
but now everyone knows who she is.
Yeah,
and we will be able to face stalk her and say sorry about your
best,
life.
And she's
your
always,
sad life.
So she's just started teaching at a primary school. She's only been there 8 weeks, and finally they asked the question, the kids, have you got a boyfriend? And she said, no, I'm single. And all the kids started chanting, sad life, Miss Gorfine. Like, it's so savage. Like, these kids have relationships.
Oh, yeah. Where's your girlfriend? And they're all pulling it out. Yeah, this is, yeah, Bethany and Frangelica is my girlfriend.
So it got me thinking, 13, 12, 16, when has a kid been mean to you? And we've got Ashley from Rocky on 13, 12, 16. Ash, when has a kid been mean to you?
So when I was going through university, I used to do childcare of an afternoon.
Oh, yep.
And doing hula hooping with the kids. Turns out, since I've been an adult, I can't do it.
Yep. It's hard, Ash.
This one little girl had the best advice for me. Miss Ash, Maybe if you lost weight, you could do the hula hoop.
Savage!
Oh, mate.
I know. I was more concerned about what she was being told at home. And I'm like, how do you come up with that? Because she wouldn't have been more than like 6 years old.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That
I mean.
Oh, wow.
To ask the question, did she have a point?
No.
Hula hooping's hard, Ashley, all right? Just because you're a child doesn't mean you're better than everyone.
Never tried hula hooping again.
Oh, that's sad. Grab a hula hoop. Hula hoop today. You deserve it. Thanks so much for your call, buddy.
No, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Matt, I still haven't forgiven one of my little cousins 7 years ago. Terry.
Yeah.
I know you listen.
Terry.
Terry said, hey, Jess, are you pregnant?
Oh.
I was just enjoying my Christmas dinner and I haven't forgotten it, Terry. And I'll never forgive you.
You're done, buddy.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on HIT. Trending now at hit.com.au.
Joined now by our Hollywood entertainment reporter, Dean McCarthy. Dean, drama, Fifth Harmony have finally called it quits. You called it so long ago.
Oh, look, I don't want to call myself the Oracle or anything, but I did predict this to a T. Here's what went down. Look, Fifth Harmony, I always loved Fifth Harmony. We all did, really.
Yeah,
but when Camila Cabello left, that's when we were like, oh, you know, she was kind of the standout superstar of the group. Like, let's be blunt. And then, of course, she has this solo career and she breaks the Beyonce record and has the number one album and number one song in America at the same time for the first time in 15 years. So it's needless to say, Camila's career took off. And Fifth Harmony, they just kind of never really kept it together. Today they've announced on Twitter, all of the four remaining members, that they are going on an indefinite hiatus. They're done and dusted. They'll try for solo careers, but I don't really think that much will happen with the rest of them. So RIP Fifth Harmony, I did love you very much.
It's hard to be Fifth Harmony when there's only four members. Like, that was my big concern for them. But I'm just like,
yep,
I'm not agreed. Sure, like, who's going to be the Liam? Who's going to be the Zayn?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the Harry? Right. Like, I mean, maybe some of them will go on to have movie careers. Like, if One Direction can do it, maybe Fifth Harmony can as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, Niall Horan's doing a very successful world tour. All those boys actually really landed on their feet, to
except
be honest.
Louis.
Fifth Harmony have the same fate.
It's awkward that you guys went for One Direction. My brain immediately went to Spice Girls. I was like, so she's Jerry Halliwell. She's left.
Maybe we'll see a reunion in 20 years then.
Oh, fingers and toes.
Remember that Jerry Halliwell song was so good. Remember, look at me. I love that
song. Wow,
Dean. It's pretty much my ringtone, Dean.
Thanks so much, buddy. We'll chat to you tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Bye, guys.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on HIT.
We need to get serious now. We need to open the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important, but the rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
That's right, Matt. It's your first time in the courtroom of Tim and Jess. Welcome.
I love how serious you've gotten.
This is a serious matter.
Face went full serious. You're nodding along to the little opener there going, yeah.
Don't sass me, defendant. Yesterday we saw a story about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Now, obviously they're big news because they're getting married in May.
Very exciting.
Prince Harry has spoken out on the weekend and said he will not get Meghan Markle to sign a prenup.
Big mistake.
I mean, he's worth $54 million.
A couple of dollars in the couch.
She is worth just a casual seven.
Sure.
$7 million. No big deal.
No, it's pittance.
But the way that he described it, I was like, Matt, this is beautiful. He said that he doesn't need one because he knows that they're going to be together forever and they don't need a safeguarder. And I agree. I think prenups are garbage. I think if you're going into a marriage already looking at how you'll split your assets at the end of the marriage, then you're not committed.
Mate, it's just smart thinking. Like, it's literally like a 50% divorce rate. No one goes into it going, well, this will be a fun 5 years and then we'll cut it off. Unless they're Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. But for everyone else, everyone's going in thinking, yeah, this will be fine. But reality, half of them not going to work. Sorry.
I don't know what you're thinking, Central Queensland. Heartless. That's... And this is how angry you made me yesterday. I was like, look, I may not be in a relationship right now, but I believe in love.
Yeah.
And I think that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have got it made. I think they're gonna make the distance. He's taking after his brother. William didn't make Kate sign a prenup, and they've got three children. They're very happy.
Oh, yeah, and wait till they divorce. Can you imagine the child support on that one? She'll be living in Buckingham for the rest of her life.
Well, you know how the courtroom of Tim and Jess works. Mm. We have one judge. That judge makes the final decision, and their ruling is final, Matt.
I'm apprehensive about this.
$13.16. Prenup or no prenup? What should the deal be for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle and for just general people?
Oh, it's dangerous. Like, what if they do get divorced and all of a sudden Meghan Markle gets Australia in the settlement? Like, is she going to be our new ruler?
I will accept her as our new queen. That will be okay with me. 13.16, give us a call. You can be the judge, prenup or no prenup. What should we do? You are listening to Hits EQ with Tim and Jess, and Matt sitting across the desk from me until Thursday morning, unless I just destroy him in the courtroom right now, because we're in the middle of You Be the Judge.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important, but the rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
That's right, Matt. Doesn't matter how many calls we get. The first caller through is the judge and their ruling is final. And we're talking prenups.
Yeah.
Because the royal family apparently don't believe in them. Not that they have many assets to defend these days.
The thing is, usually they just marry into the family. Yeah. So there's no external issues happening there.
So Prince Harry has come out and made a statement and said Meghan Markle will not be signing a prenup, even though he's worth $54 million.
Foolish.
I mean, I think it's romantic. I think he's like, you know, he's come out and said, me, Meghan, what we have is special. And you know, we don't need to put a time frame on this.
Oh, gross.
You're so cynical morning.
But bitter is how it's described.
But we've got Michael from Rocky on 13, 12, 16. He is the judge. His ruling is final. Michael, what are you thinking? Where are you leaning with this?
You cannot be going into a wedding with a prenup.
What?
You just can't be. That's your get-out-of-jail-free card, and that's not what a marriage is.
You're supposed to be committing to a lifetime with this person. You don't want a backup just in case.
No, that's right.
No, but there's logic. Like, there's the more chance of the relationship breaking up.
Michael, let our judge speak, Matthew. Okay. Michael, are you married yourself?
I'm getting married.
Right, congratulations. And you guys are obviously not having a prenup?
No, but neither of us have got anything to take anyway, so it's not really an issue.
See, I think that's where it is.
Yeah.
I feel like Harry might have a bit more to lose in the Meghan Markle situation.
And he still feels the same way as Michael.
So yeah, that's right. You've got to be going in committed, ready for the lifetime, till death do us part. That's what you say, and that's what you got to mean.
So final ruling, Michael, prenup or no prenup?
No prenup.
And that's how love wins, Matt.
I don't like this game anymore.
I'm going to count it. Point to Jessica on the board.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
You're with Tim and Jess and Matt until Thursday.
Look, maybe there's a couple of hiccups happening this morning. That's fine.
I mean, if you make it to Thursday, Matt, because apparently you've been personally attacked.
Mate, you know when you just feel like the universe has got something against you?
Yeah.
So this morning, getting ready, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, getting ready. And I've got this weird little hook on the edge of my towel, as though like you can hook it on the back of a door or something.
Sure.
Like, go to pull it off the towel rack. Somehow that little hook gets caught on the edge of it. I've got my phone resting on the other side of the towel rack.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, it's...
Why is your phone on a towel rack?
Because I had it above the shower so I could listen to music. Look, I put myself at risk, I guess.
I was going to say.
But anyway, so that was the camel.
Yep.
Straw's broken it.
That's how analogies work, sure.
I know, good words.
Yep.
And then before that, I have dropped my phone last week, actually broken it this time, smashed the front of the screen.
Of course,
yeah. Had to get a new one. Not Devo about that. I love a new bit of technology.
But phones don't smash that easily these days.
Oh, the fact that it somehow managed to hover and land flat on its face directly on a little rock. Yeah, I feel personally attacked by that.
Like, I'm almost convinced that, like, Apple had some sort of shares in, like, new screen replacements for a while there, because from, like, iPhone 4 to 6, the screen's just shattered instantly.
Yeah, if you looked at it a bit harsh. Like if you swung your head too quick with a, it was like.
Sometimes if I took a mean selfie.
Shatter. I mean, that's a few other things going on there. But no, and then also I was walking through a doorway. My pant pocket got caught on a doorknob and ripped my pants.
I mean, is that just because you're a bit of a big boy?
They're the only pants that fit. I'm running out of clothes.
Yeah, but at least it could have been worse. It could have split right down the bum crack.
Oh, I've absolutely done that before, though. You know, the pair of work slacks that were just a little bit too tight, trying to get out of the car.
Well, I feel directly like back in the car. You've hit your three. Mm. Like, my mum always says that things happen in threes.
Right. So that should be it for the rest of the show. All my stuff ups.
It's open.
Fingers and toes.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit. Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland, and Matt, Renee Zellweger has transformed into Judy Garland for a new biopic.
Judy Garland?
Yeah. Judy Garland of The Wizard of Oz, of course.
Sure.
Liza Minnelli's mother.
Right. That's a family.
Like, she's like a Hollywood legend.
Yeah.
And Renee Zellweger is very well known for transforming into characters.
That's true, yeah.
For Bridget Jones's Diary, she put on a lot of weight. And then she lost a lot of weight to get into Chicago.
Oh, yes.
And then she put it all on back again for the sequels of Bridget Jones.
Oh,
and now she's lost it all again. And you should see the pictures of her as Judy Garland. Head to our Facebook page and our hit.com.au. Check out the pictures for yourself because she looks like Judy Garland. It looks like a picture of Judy Garland. This new biopic, I'm living for it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be set in Judy Garland's kind of last few years.
Okay.
When she was doing concerts in London. Right. And I guess I'm hoping it'll be like flashbacks to, you know, how she grew up. Because, I mean, growing up in that early kind of years of Hollywood would have been a very intense time and a very different experience to what people experience in Hollywood today.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love this sort of stuff. So, I mean, biopic, Renee Zellweger, Judy Garland, this is just, it's like this movie was made for me.
Yeah.
I cannot
specifically
wait.
For you. No, well, I guess she can sing too.
Yeah.
Like she did in Roxy Hart in Chicago.
Oh, so. Chicago. The Chicago soundtrack still gets a regular place.
Squish.
Don't get me excited this early in the morning. You can check out that and everything else that's trending right now at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Pink, you and your hand. It's 8:23 here on Hit CQ with Tim and Jess and Matt sitting across
and
the
I'm realizing why Tim always has his headphones up so loud. So he can't hear you singing along to
I feel sorry for Central Queensland that you didn't turn my mic on earlier because I nailed that.
That was some beautiful bogan singing of Pink.
I'm not here for your entertainment, Matt.
That's exactly how I reckon Pink would talk if she was born in Australia.
I am here to make you some money, though, because we have found a painting in this building, and I'm starting to think it's more of a print than a painting.
Yeah, someone may have said that it was definitely a print.
Yeah.
But it was handwritten numbered, numbered.
So, I mean, the artist we found out and discovered is Katie Edwards. Now, a lot of people have been jumping on our, like, search discovery on our Facebook page. Just search for Hit Central Queensland. We had a couple of comments. Sharon said there used to be similar prints to this at the children's ward back when her kids were young, like over 25 years ago, which, you know, adds up because the print actually says 1989 on it.
Oh, wow. 1989?
89.
Right. That's
so
old.
So another person has actually given us a link. Celine gave us a link to a auction site that is auctioning off pieces of Katie Edwards' art.
Ooh.
Now, there's a very similar print to the one that we've got.
Yeah.
That is being auctioned off. For, they're estimating between $40 and $80.
Oh.
So.
Not the $40,000 and $80,000
no,
I was
expecting in the thousands, but I'm thinking it's more going to be in the hundreds at this point.
Look, I'll be honest though. I've done a bit of a reverse image search to try and find more of that.
Yeah.
I feel like ours is a bit faded.
Really?
Compared to like the Origi-Didge.
Oh, it's been hit by the sunlight of Queensland too much?
Since 1989, I think.
It makes a lot of sense because it's quite faded.
Yeah.
And you showed me that image just before we went up onto air just now. And it is colourful.
Yeah, bright.
Our one, not so much. But I did send it through to an art valuer.
Oh, good.
In Melbourne.
Yep.
Right? So I found him online.
Yeah.
And apparently in 3 to 4 days, they can turn around and tell you what your art is worth.
Neat.
So I've sent through an image And I've given him all the details that I can about it, including where it was framed, because they're all framed exactly the same.
Yeah, beautifully done.
From, I think, Gladstone Framing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think maybe the artwork was purchased and then framed locally because it doesn't look like Katie Edwards is from here.
No.
But if she is and you're listening, give us a call.
It'll really help us out there, Katie.
And if not, and you still have some information on this print, go and check it out at our Facebook page and leave us a comment. Let us know if you know anything about this artwork, because I want to get behind, like, to the bottom of this and see how much it's worth.
Yeah, I want to get to the bottom where the money is.
Yeah, where is the cash? And in a couple of days, when I hear back from our art valuer,
yes,
I'll let you know.
Cash money.
Yeah, he's hoping, he's like, it's just worth a casual $4,000 or $5,000.
And we'll have to pretend like we're not surprised, like those people on Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, yes. Actually, it was worth $5,000 and then you let it sit in the sun for 30 years.
Oh, that's true.
That will be heartbreaking. Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on HIT.